Elwell, word up.
Scandalo.
Bomba.
Yo, this sound came to be a continuity from the ashes of the old. This wisdom is gold, brothers and sisters. It's time to look around. If we don't come master, we'll be driven to the ground.
It's a new millennium, new piece of history. All the workers come together, it's time for unity. While the rich just get richer, the poor keep forgiving. As we sign up the times, reality is what we're living.
The media is deception, we get handed lies. But you can't cheat a worker, cause a worker is wise. Day after day, we have to keep it going. Year after year, the union keeps growing. Taking until millions that they never work to earn. But without a brain and muscle, not a single will could turn. Not a force on earth is weaker than the feeble strength of one. Solidarity forever, the union makes us strong. All working people, it's time to come together. A union makes us strong, solidarity forever. All working people, it's time to come together. A union makes us strong, solidarity forever. All working people, it's time to come together. A union makes us strong, solidarity forever. All working people, it's time to come together. A union makes us strong, solidarity forever.
I'm Mimi Rosenberg with Building Bridges, your community and labor report.
And I'm Ken Nash.
And we are joining you live from City Hall at our Save Our City rally, where we're going to stop the service cuts, stop the layoffs, stop privatization, and put the buck where it belongs in the pocket of the working class who creates all the wealth. And tell it like it is to the wealthy who have been driving this city down into the hole.
So the Democrats and Republicans compete in how to inflict pain on the workers and the residents of New York City, and especially the poor. You must keep in mind that there's another way, by cutting outside contractors and taxing the rich in Wall Street, and that we're only in the beginning of a decline not seen in New York City since the 1970s, and hopefully this rally is the beginning of a new fight back.
And we're beginning as the rally is in its convening stages. There are tens of thousands of workers who are here to make their voice loud and clear. They're mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore. And we're beginning by offering some analysis with some of our favorite people who have been involved in working class issues for many a decade. And why don't we begin with Eddie Ott, who is a distinguished lecturer with the Murphy Institute now of Worker Studies at CUNY. He was also the head of the Central Labor Council. Eddie, I'm very excited. What do you think about all this and what's really going on here today?
Yeah, I share the excitement in terms of the energy that working people are putting out, but it's absolutely disgusting that they have to be here. The rally is basically about a call for fairness, which city workers are really, it's all, they're asking them to give up money, they're asking them to give up time, they're asking them to give up jobs. Meantime, we've got some of the wealthiest corporations in this city who are refusing to ante up anything. They don't want to pay a nickel more in taxes. They want the working people to carry this. They even want to borrow money from the pension funds of the state workers in order to make payments to the same pension fund. Talk about taking it from one pocket to put it in the other. Working people basically in this city right now feel like they're being robbed, so I'm not surprised people are showing up here.
Eddie, we're talking about the people who work for the city of New York. We're also talking about the residents. If you can give us your idea of what the challenges and what the effects will be on both the workers who work for the city and the residents of the city. And are we coming back to the 70s?
I think in some ways it's worse than the 70s in that the private sector employment situation is dreadful. The city workers, the state workers, are probably among the steadiest incomes that we have in the communities. At this point, to be taking those jobs away, to be reducing standards, is a direct effect on life in the communities. I don't think we're going to go back to the 70s in the sense that this is a very different city now and workers are much more highly organized. They've been through this before. But I do think that in the communities right now, they're trying to fight to preserve an infrastructure. It took us the better part of three decades to rebuild after the cuts of the 70s. This is like house-to-house fighting at this point. The communities are not helpless. They're not being taken by surprise, and they're ready to fight.
There's broader issues here, which is really going after the public sector union. This might as well be called a rally against union busing, because the contempt that has been put out in mass media and by public officials to in effect balance the budget on the back of the public sector workers and to absolutely demolish and defame the city union. Don't you think this is also a major effort, at least the rally against, trying to diminish and break the backs of the city unions?
The same people that spent 30 years destroying unions in the private sector now recognize that the public sector's unions are the most highly organized component of the working middle class, and they've decided that they're in the way. For them to get where they want to go and have this all go towards helping the corporations and the wealthy of this city, so they're making them the target. If you look at what they're doing to the teachers union in this city, what they're doing to the teachers union nationally, they're holding them up as some kind of scapegoat for all the problems of society, when in fact what they're really interested in doing is going after public education itself. They don't want to pay for it. They want to shift the course completely onto the back of working people. And if they can, there are people in this government at the national level who would be willing to get rid of public schools for some ideological purposes. And the union is in the way. You cannot understand public education just in terms of budgets. Public education is part of the institutions of democracy of this country. And to the degree that they can take them down, they make this country less democratic and they get their way.
And where are our allies in the political class, so to speak? Obama is part of that non-solution in terms of education. We have Cuomo coming in, who's been attacking the public unions. How do we work the political system? Right now, it seems like all of the forces are arrayed against us, Democrat and Republican.
People got to understand that if you take an organization, the reason they went after Acorn was not because Acorn was doing anything wrong. It's because they registered 3 million voters in this country and they were an effective political force for the poor. They're going after the union because they're an effective political force for the working class. What they're trying to do here is reorganize society. This is not your standard budget cut. Both parties were complicit in the destroying of worker rights to organize, going back to Jimmy Carter through Republican and Democratic administrations. This is the next phase of that fight. This is about dismantling anything that working people have to defend themselves and advance themselves.
And there's no way that I can't look at the reality of who is in the public workforce and who are the workers most recently that were able to get public sector jobs, and know that there isn't a racial dimension to this as well. What are the ramifications of the potential layoff, contracting out, privatization for the last hired workers who were workers from the African American and Latino community who are at the heart and the center of the public workforce?
Well, I would agree with you that it impacts in communities of color to a greater degree. But, you know, Richard Trump has stood in these streets several weeks ago and pointed out, Richard Trump is the president of the AFL-CIO, the National Labor Federation, the largest national labor. When the collapse of Wall Street happened, the private sector failed, and it was their failure that caused all of this so-called budget crisis. They cost us 11 million jobs. But one thing I will say, when it comes to slashing jobs, benefits, and taking things away from working people, that's as close as these guys come to affirmative action in this country. They are out to take off everybody.
And I see that David Jones has also joined us, CEO and president of the Community Service Society.
Every party admits that the thing that caused this recession was manipulation of the financial sector and large banks. And yet now we're coming into this time where who's going to be the primary victim, both in terms of job loss, the working poor, working people of moderate income, and the very poor in terms of the services they lost. There should be some sense of shame that you have this sector brought us to this pass, the worst recession since the Great Depression, and yet they do not want to share in any kind of pain sharing. There's no even effort at equity. I look at the nature of the job cuts that are going on here, but I look at the nature of what they're cutting. Summer youth employment. They're cutting adult literacy programs, child care, senior centers, and transitional jobs programs. These are squarely aimed at the poorest, most vulnerable populations. But we're not even considering the revenue side. It's off the agenda by Democrats and Republicans. Oh, we can't do a millionaire's tax. That will slow down the economy. oh, we can't tax high-end not-for-profits even. NYU and Columbia have billions of dollars. They pay no property taxes, water and sewer taxes. Essentially, we can wipe out this immediate deficit right with that. We have to see some sense of equity here. If anyone from our side of the ledger is to believe what's being talked about.
David, I was at a rally by students who were about to lose their Metro cards last Friday. Let's talk about the youth. Let's talk about how this will impact on especially the poor youth of the city.
Poor youth obviously have, you know, essentially unemployment levels that have never been seen since the Great Depression. As a matter of fact, there's some suggestions that for Black and Latino youth and adults, we have levels higher than the Great Depression now, with nearly 40 to 50% of them not participating in the workforce. But the attitude, and there's been economists, Andy Sum has suggested, there's almost no response. There's not a Great Depression response. There's just, oh, the economy is in full recovery. The restaurants are full.
I think that one of the things that you really got to think about is there are pockets of African-American male unemployment in this city as high as 70%. But I think the important thing to remember here, while this is a public sector rally, this is a situation that has gone across the board. We have lost 11 million jobs in this country. The private sector has been devastated. People who were just climbing up the ladder getting their first home and having the rug pulled out from under them as job loss leads to home loss. This situation is kind of like a rock rolling downhill gaining momentum. For young workers to be coming out of high school, graduates coming out of college as graduates into this economy, it's going to affect their income levels for their entire lives.
Of that 11 million job loss, 6.5 million of them have been out of work for more than 6 months. So this is not just a minor dip. Oh, poor Johnny has just lost a job for a couple of weeks. This is becoming permanent unemployment for a whole class of working people.
Again, the media has railed and rallied against public sector workers and their unions, in effect indicating that they are overpaid, their pension structure is too high. What do you tell them at this point?
Yeah, you know, this is kind of like what Lenny Bruce used to talk about. First they break your legs and then they laugh at you because you can't dance. The truth of the matter is, we're in a situation where private sector collapsed. The public sector did absolutely nothing wrong. We were down to absolutely essential services. This was a collapse of the private sector, particularly on Wall Street, where they took people's money and threw it into the gambling casino and they lost. And now they're turning it around and saying that public sector has to pay for it. It's totally unfair to the people who did everything that they were asked to do, and now it's being turned around on them. They're being asked to pay for somebody else's mistake.
Because of this cutback in terms of people's pension funds, New York has the fastest growing number of elderly seniors who are living solely on Social Security, and they can't make ends meet. And they're being forced for the first time. This is the first generation where the elderly, people who took retirement, did hard work, are now being forced to come back into the workforce even when they should be retired.
Yeah, now look, the other thing that's gone on here, we've gone through basically 2.5 decades of wage suppression. So you've got in the private sector in this town, and this is why they're trying to make this appeal to working and working middle class people. You have about 2 million workers in this city that work at $12 an hour or less with no benefits, no sick days at all. You see them in the service industries, in the restaurants, you see them in cleaning the buildings, you see them even in the hotels. What's going on here is they're trying to crack the solidarity of working people. They're going to these workers who they've deprived of fair benefits and even fair pay and saying that the public sector has too much. But what they're really doing is they're destroying the last ladders that we have for people to climb out of poverty in this city. And what they're looking for is the cheapest workforce they can get.
This has real dangers for the whole society in terms of the democracy, because people are getting angrier and angrier at both parties and are seeking scapegoats as to why this is happening to them. And that's why this is so dangerous. Essentially, a lot of the angst that's coming out, we see it in the Black and Latino community, but you see it across the America as working people lose hope. You get mountebank who come to them and said, oh, it's because of immigrants. It's because of the people in public service that you're not making their way. And their energy and anger is being misdirected in very dangerous stuff.
I mean, and the truth of the matter is, there are other ways out of this. The people who caused this problem on Wall Street are actually lobbying and fighting against having a stock transfer tax, which would go a long, long way towards solving some of the debt problems that are in this state. And the people that caused the problem refuse to ante up one nickel, but they're willing to take away other people's livelihoods. It's absolutely an assault on the dignity of the working class.
at the same time that they attack the public sector workers, their salaries, their pension funds, they're contracting out, their privatization. There's numerous studies that show that it actually would cost more and be less efficient. So again, is this about breaking the unions as well?
Well, one should certainly argue that if they're not saving any money, you look at what's going on with childcare in this city where they're closing down 16 facilities that's not saving the city a nickel. You got to begin to think that somebody's got an agenda. I believe the national agenda of the conservative right and elements of the Democratic Party is to remove any organized components of the working middle class.
Give both David Jones and Eddie, who are interested in joining the rally proper, their last word on this.
We're confronted with a major political problem that's going to require vigorous political action by both unionized workers and low-wage workers together to hold politicians accountable for what's going on here. Everyone is playing games on us now on issues as wide as paid sick leave, issues as wide as basic supports for the pension and decent wages for working people. We can't let this go or our children have no future.
I would absolutely agree. The fight is in the political sector. I think unions, advocates for the poor, the community-based organizations, we have to rethink our whole commitment to the two major parties. This is time for a new political movement, and it's got to be rooted in a commitment to democracy and economic justice.
Amen.
So you think there's a fairer way to balance the budget than on the backs of the workers, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the workers of this city have always been willing to ante up and sacrifice in order to help through crisis. I've never seen a situation, even in the 70s, the business community came to the table and said, all right, everybody's got to put something on the table. At this point, the business community is saying, no, not us. It's absolutely absurd. It's frankly immoral.
Well, Eddie Ott, labor activist, distinguished lecturer at the Murphy School, former head of the Central Labor Council, David Jones, president and CEO of the premier social service organization, the Community Service Society. You both have fire in your eyes. We're fed up. We can't take it anymore. We're not going to give it back. And we are going to move on from our live rally at City Hall. We are now going to be speaking with John Samuelson. John is the president of the Transport Workers Union Local 100. And they move the city. Nothing happens without them. But I'm not sure the city has caught up to that reality. John, I know your workers do indeed move the city. But what's happening? What are they actually faced with?
Well, right now, Local 100 has 250 or so station agents that are laid off. There's an additional 250 or so station agents that they want to lay off that we've blocked by a court injunction. Aside from those 500, we're looking at the prospects of another 500 Local 100 members being laid off on June 27th. So it's a fight, it's a battle, and it seems to be never-ending.
John, I'm going to ask you the same questions I've asked a lot of people today. Does it have to be like this? And we have to choose between which cuts we're doing. I mean, that you had talked about the fact that the MTA could use capital funds to prevent this layoff, that it's not necessary. Talk to me.
In Mass Transit's case, it's not even capital funds that we're talking about. We're talking about stimulus money from 2009. The MTA received $1.3 billion in stimulus money in 2009. They still have $275 million of that money that hasn't been allocated yet. That money could go immediately toward paying down the service cuts.
When you say immediately, so if it's that easy, what do we do to make sure that happens?
Right now, Jay Walder, the chairman of the MTA, who came in from London, I think he feels like he's the king of the world and nobody can stop him from doing what he wants to do. And I believe it's his plan to drastically cut service. It's his plan to lay off workers. And this is his vision. And unless the decision makers in New York State and Washington, D.C. step in and slap him around a little bit and get him into line, he's going to continue to do this.
There's this bill in Washington, a $2 billion bill to fund mass transit across the country. What is the status of that bill? And also, if that bill passes, is there any way to make the MTA do something with that money so that they won't lay off more workers, or are they just going to use it for whatever they want?
No, the purpose of the money is to use toward the operating budget. They would have to use the money to pay down the service cuts. And by paying down the service cuts, Local 100 members will come back to work.
And one of the things I'm also interested in, there was a tremendously exciting rally of primarily youth walked out of the schools and so on, walked across the bridges and said, stop making us pay for public education by taking away our Metro cards. And TWU, Local 100 workers were in full support. Tell us what you think is going to happen at the hearings next week relevant to the issue of the Metro cards and some of the other things discussed at the MTA board meeting.
Ultimately, I think Walder is playing a game of chicken with the city and the state to secure more funding for student Metro cards.
So we have hearings coming up this week. Tell us where that's going to be, how people can get involved.
The hearings are at 347 Madison. Folks can call Local 100 right away. Dial Local 100's number, 1212-873-6000, and we'll explain to everybody who calls how to get involved in this fight back. But certainly there's going to be presentations arguing on behalf of New York City students.
You're going to save those jobs, John Samuelson? You're going to save those Metro cards?
Well, we're fighting tooth and nail to save the jobs, and we've done our part. We've stood with the students the whole way through to ensure that they don't have to pay to get on the system.
Great. Well, we're broadcasting live from City Hall Park at the Save Our City Rally, and we now have with us one of the foremost and experienced and competent healthcare advocates in the country, and that is Judy Wexler. Judy, the healthcare cuts, what's happening out there?
Healthcare cuts are multiple, and they affect all parts of healthcare. The mayor actually put money in the budget of the public hospital system, the Health and Hospitals Corporation, but then he told them that they had to cut an equal amount. So there's $300 million that over 4 years has to be cut. It means layoffs, it means consolidations, it means closing of services. 5 child health clinics and 1 children's dental clinic, all of which are really, really needed. They have to close in order to get the money from the mayor. So that's one part of it. Then in the mayor's budget, there are lots and lots of cuts that affect children. There's closing of the child health clinics, but there's also the mayor is trying to reduce the number. He wants to take nurses out of the schools, and so he wants to say that in schools with less than 300 children, there won't be a school nurse. Totally unacceptable, not only in healthcare, but in many other areas. These cuts are really going to impact horribly children, low-income communities of color, immigrant communities, and they've just got to not do it. And the city council has got to stand up for change and say, no, we will not do this, and make the mayor make changes. And hopefully we can work across issues instead of fighting each other.
As Judy said that, she looked over in the direction of somebody who just has a little bit to do with education in the city of New York. Indeed, he's the president of one of the critical unions, and we're looking at the issue of education now and teachers. I know what it means to have the oversized classes. I understand what's happening to our public education system. Michael Mulgo, tell us what is to be done to look across issues and build that mass movement to save our city.
You know, we came here today, and excuse me for my voice from yelling all day. We came here today, but we organized this for the last month, and we said we are not going to allow what happened in 1976 to happen again. We are not going to allow a bad economic downturn to be taken out on the communities, on the schools, and on all of the municipal workers and the services that we need that are so important to the entire city. And we said it was time that somebody's not voicing this and saying we can't do this by cutting all of the services, by cutting all of the workforce, and taking it out on all of the people who make the city great. We understand it's tough right now, but we're saying we're willing to help. In the 70s, we did a lot to help, but we don't want the same result. We don't want to have 3 generations of trying to rebuild our city and have so many children hurt and have so many people in communities hurt because of it. So now it becomes, how do we get our elected officials, both in Albany, in Washington, and here in the city, to understand that it is the communities that make this city great. It is the communities that make this country great.
And how do we get the politicians to understand that it isn't just about cuts, but getting new sources of revenue.
That's exactly the message we were delivering in Albany. It's not, if you do it just by cutting, if it's only about cuts, then you will hurt a lot of people. So there has to be alternative sources of revenue. We're not saying to, you know, we said, let's sit down with everyone and say, we all have to work on this together. We're willing to do our part, but at the same time, it can't be all aimed at us and at the communities that we serve. Let's come up with some ideas on revenue. There's all sorts of ideas.
What about taxing the rich?
That's a very popular one, and we're behind that 100%, especially now that the people in that upper income bracket now pay less taxes than they ever did percentage-wise in the history of this city. So let's do this in the right way.
I call it the revenge of Pataki, because if they hadn't cut the taxes back then, we'd be in a better position right now. Why don't we just go back to where we were, huh?
And I want to add a point, because I think DC 37 has identified all of these consultants that are being paid millions and millions and millions of dollars. And like City Time, you know, it's 1,000 times more than what they should have been paid, and they still haven't accomplished it. It's about time that that stops. The mayor helps his friends with all kinds of money, and that too has to stop.
We have one more minute before we sign off from this live rally at City Hall, the Save Our City rally, and we're speaking to Judy Wessler, healthcare advocate, Michael Rubelgoof, education advocate. Why don't you take us out? Michael, what's your final message?
It's time for us to be smart as a city and to work together as a city. You can't blame and aim at certain people. The idea is get people to work together, not try to take it out on people. The newspapers need to understand this. They're constantly attacking the community members. They're attacking anyone who says that what's happening is wrong. It's time for all of us to say, we're going to save our city, and we're going to do it by working together. And if that can't be done, then we're going to have a very difficult time, and it's going to get ugly, and that's not anything any of us want. We want to be constructive, but we're not going to sit idly by as we watch communities get decimated by these cuts.
Michael Mulgrew, Judy Wessler, thank you. And I'm Mimi Rosenberg with Building Bridges, your community and labor report.
And I'm Ken Nash. Go to our webpage, www.buildingbridgesradio.org. If you like this show, this is what we do every week. We build bridges. We fight back, because we're in a crisis, and the crisis is going to continue.
And now you go back to your community, start the organizing. Signing off from the live Save Our City rally. Now